Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnton.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 26th day of September, 2018. And I have just returned Monday, day before yesterday, from a trip to Long Island, New York. That was one that I was filled with anxiety over for quite a while. This was a day which began on Friday of last week, where I had to begin, I voluntarily began to retrieve salvageable personal items from my childhood home, which was also subsequently the dream home of my late wife and mine when my parents passed away, and we purchased the home from my siblings and had it renovated. And the home, unfortunately, years ago went into foreclosure, and it was rescued from an auction. And thankfully, I was able to very quickly sell the home in a short sale through a wonderful organization called Realty Warehouse in Melville, Long Island, and before the new owner began his renovations, I was given the opportunity to retrieve personal belongings, and it was a really devastating experience personally, both mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Entering into the home, which had been vacant for 7 years, had been vandalized, had been invaded by wildlife like raccoons and so on. The house was a wreck, so it was emotionally devastating, to say the least. And I just want to thank God for Officer Kevin Degnan of the Suffolk County Police Department, who was a captain, and now he's something higher than that. I can't remember the exact title that he now has, that he was promoted to, but he's with the Marine Division in Suffolk County, stationed in the Great River office of the Suffolk County Police Department. He went in there with me. He's been a friend of mine for many years, going back to the early 90s. He went in there with me for the first day to retrieve hand carryable items, small items that had personal deep value for me, just because of the personal nature of the items. And he just volunteered to go underneath the house in the crawl space, crawl on his stomach to grab some of these things. He even wanted me to sit in the car while he did this, because he realized how emotionally devastating this was. And then the following day, Saturday, from about 10 a.m. to 8:30 p.m., I had a legion of angels come to help me, none of whom I knew except one person. None of whom I knew beforehand except one person. That was Joe Matone, who is a contractor. I've known him for many years. He's a born-again believer in Christ. His nephew, Ethan, and one of his employees with his contracting firm, Joshua, they rented a box truck, did most of the furniture moving from the house into the box truck. A wonderful couple that I had never met before, but if I had met before, I don't remember them. But I wanted to give thanks to this dear couple from Hope Reformed Baptist Church, Rob and Julie. They are with the Ministry to the Needy of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Suffolk County, Long Island, in Medford currently and soon to be in, excuse the children screaming from across the hallway in my, across the hallway from my apartment. They are the neighbor's children. This couple, I am so glad that the Lord, through his providence, caused our paths to cross, in this unique situation where they volunteered to help. Rob and Julie Spanarelli. Also, a woman that I had never met, from the North Shore Community Church of Oyster Bay, Long Island, New York, where my friend for many years, Pastor John Yenschko, is the pastor. He made an announcement of my need for help to clean out items from the house. And this wonderful woman, Karen Connolly, who is the manager of the Hope for Long Island thrift store, which is a thrift store of North Shore Community Church in Oyster Bay, she came and she did the work of five men. She was a whirlwind of energy and enthusiasm, collecting things for the thrift store, every dish, cup, plate, fork, knife, and spoon. She just amazing woman. I don't have enough to say about her. And I am grateful to all of them and grateful to God for them. And if I, so I'm still in somewhat of an emotional, state right now. So if I remember anyone else who may have helped me that I'm not remembering at this moment, I will let you know. But it was not only a heart-wrenching, devastating and depressing time, but it was a wonderful time of blessing to meet these people and also to be reunited with my friend Joe Matone, who I have known, and to see the love and compassion and enthusiasm that they poured into helping me, and the fact that they were thanking me throughout the entire episode instead of me thanking them. And I did thank them, but they were thanking me for the privilege of helping me do this, and it was just helped so enormously for me to get through this experience. But I thank all of you who had prayed, and your prayers were definitely answered. God sent to me a legion of angels, as I told you, to help me with this very devastating experience, but also a final chapter that I can put behind me now in my life. But now, today, we are having our first live broadcast since my return to Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And I'm excited to have two first-time guests and also a returning guest who I've interviewed a number of times, who's also been my co-host on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a number of times. First of all, let me introduce that friend of mine who you've no doubt heard on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you listen regularly. Charlie Liebert, who is an author, has experience in the education system, and is also the founder of SixDayCreation.com. It's great to have you in the studio, Charlie Liebert.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to be here.
And for the very first time ever on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we have Gareth Schuth, who is the headmaster of Grace Baptist Christian School in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's great to have you in the studio.
Chris, thank you.
And then last but not least, we have my friend Mike Endres, who is a third-grade teacher and technology coordinator at the Grace Baptist Christian School in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Mike Endres, it's great to have you in the studio as well for the first time.
Thanks, Chris. It's nice to be here, and welcome to all those who are joining us today.
And today we are going to be talking about, obviously, Christian education, and more specifically, my children's education, What Shall I Do?, A Christian Educator's Analysis and Advice, which is actually the latest book by my guest here today, Charlie Liebert. But before we get into all of that, I'm going to announce our email address for all of you who are listening who have questions of your own regarding Christian education. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. I would like to begin with Gareth Schuth, since he is a first-time guest, and as we normally do on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we have first-time guests give summaries of their salvation testimony, what kind of religious atmosphere you were raised in, if any, and what kind of providential circumstances did the Lord rise up in your life that drew you to himself, to the place where you were eventually saved by him?
Great. Well, thank you, Chris, and it's always good to give a testimony, and it's something that I feel like we maybe don't talk about enough as our own testimonies, but I thank you for the opportunity to share what the Lord has done. I was privileged to have Christian parents. My mom took me to church as early as I can remember. My dad, as well, had an interest, of course, in my upbringing. We went to a Wesleyan church in upstate New York and west of Rochester. It was there I was guided by some very godly men and women in Sunday school, in the church, in our youth group. I would say, though, that the experience that I had that's most memorable and notable was fairly early on when I was at a Christian camp. Christian camps, as you know, if you are around Grace Baptist Christian School at all, are something that are important to a lot of our teachers. But this one, particularly for me, when I was probably 6 or 7, I was at a Christian camp during the summertime and really just felt like I understood who the Lord was for the first time and made a profession of faith then. I was in high school, however, when I was a junior. It was then when I was finally baptized. I think that was just a matter of me taking hold of what I thought I knew and making it my own. And even yet, as the Lord is often doing in our hearts, just bringing us to greater realization of who he is. And I found myself in college finding a little bit of a crisis point as I was in a college situation where there were many people who were actually questioning their faith or introduced to new doctrines that were foreign. I even had the analysis that our professors may have been poking some holes in our Sunday school theology, but not really filling those holes. Now, that may not have been accurate. I can't paint the entire institution like that, but that was certainly the case for many of us in the circles in which I ran. So I found myself a bit of a crisis point, realizing that what I had may not have been enough in my own viewing. It was then that some of my friends said, hey, there's this book that's been passed around. It's called Today's Gospel. And hey, look at this. There's this place in Carlisle. We're pretty close to Carlisle. Let's go to this church. And it was then I was really introduced to the doctrines of grace, which really gave voice to the things I really thought I did believe. But the authority of the scripture, the sovereignty of God, were probably never clearer in my picture, in my mind, until I came across those at Grace. And I've been thankful to have been part of the church since then in about 2004, 2005. And of course, the Lord is not done with me yet, so his testimony should and will continue in my life.
Amen. And when did the notion come about in your mind that you wanted to be involved in Christian education?
That's a great question. I'm not sure it ever came into my mind, Chris. Someone had to stick it there. Yeah, I grew up in a public school. I was very content. I didn't know many people who went to Christian schools. Those that didn't seem to have much of a walk to their faith. And that, of course, is not indicative of all Christian schools by any means, but the ones that I came across, that was the case. I actually was teaching music in a public school for a year before there was an opening at Grace in math and science, and I love math and science, and then the opening came, and I said yes. And I would say, Chris, even in those first year or two, I didn't get it, we'll put it that way. I didn't get Christian education the way I do today. I didn't value it. I didn't see it as important as it was, as it is. So it took some learning curve with those around me pouring into me and making that a priority, even as I taught in a Christian school. So I would say it's been a process.
Okay, Mike Endres, you are also a first-time guest. Let's hear something about your personal testimony, about what kind of religion, if any, you were raised in and the providential circumstances the Lord raised up to draw you to himself.
Thank you, Chris. When you had mentioned earlier that we were giving our, we would give testimonies today of our conversion, Providence is the word that rose in my mind as well. So I grew up going to with my family to an Episcopal church in New Jersey. And I'm not going to categorize Episcopal churches all the same, but at this church, it seemed more of like a country club. Certainly there were things there I appreciated there that were spiritual and I recognized, even though it wasn't mine, but things in the Common Book of Prayer, the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, things that I had memorized. There were even opportunities that I was asked to read the scriptures, and I would want to do it correctly. During the service as a young kid, they had us read some of the lessons. And so here I was going over the word again and again so I'd say it right. And yet I knew there was power in it, but I didn't understand it. But by the Lord's providence, a camp that I had intended to go with on a canoe trip, it was a scout camp, that camp folded, went out of business, and a friend of my father's told me about a camp in New York, Northern Frontier Camp in North River, New York. And it was a Christian camp, and they were doing a canoe trip. So I got information about it, and among the packing list of all these things I was to bring on this serious wilderness trip was a Bible. And the only Bible I had was gold-leafed, and it sat on a shelf dusty since my confirmation.
Probably about the size of a coffee table?
Yeah, it was big. I'm not sure if it was that one or another one that I wrapped multiple times in Ziploc bags or whatever, but took it on a canoe trip. And here I was exposed to young men who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved his word and wanted me to know more about him. And this is not something I ran into before, except for perhaps one Sunday school teacher that I had had back in the Episcopal church. But anyhow, go ahead.
There's a tongue teaser. Or
yes.
Tongue tying, particular Episcopal.
Right? Well, all right. Well, I thank you for that. Thanks for saving me on that. But anyhow, I was blessed by these young men and went home and read my Bible that year for a little bit. And that faded, and it happened a couple other years as I went on trips with this camp and became interested in spiritual things. And then after a few weeks on my own, it faded until one summer when I was on the staff as a junior counselor. I really felt the Lord was convicting me of sin and drawing me to himself. I remember in the Episcopal Church, I was given a special award for helping as an acolyte. And that was a job I took seriously, though I didn't really understand it too well. But I remember receiving this award one night or one Sunday morning and feeling the guilt of my sin. It was supposed to be an encouragement to my faith. Well, it was in a way. But it brought me great guilt knowing that I had not truly sought the Lord yet, and that I was not living for him, and that I had not repented of sin. And so in many ways that was a hard but a great blessing and brought me face to face with my need of a Savior. So many years ago.
And tell us about your journey into the field of education.
So I had worked through camps as a junior counselor, as a collegian, and working with young people all the time is something that I had done and enjoyed. I had considered education while I was in college and had a little difficulty with my grades, keeping it up at the high level required to stay in the education program. So I switched gears and worked in mental health and I went into the mental health major that geared me into that. And then, after working in mental health for a few years, my wife is already, she started at the Christian school, the Grace Baptist, as a second grade teacher. And I decided that I wanted to go back to school for a master's in education and elementary ed. And I did that at Shippensburg University. And when I finished, my daughter was born about that time. And so my wife was leaving the school, and I took her position directly. And she went, it went from Mrs. Endress to Mr. Endress, and I became the second grade teacher. This is now my 20th year serving at the Christian school, and I've done it in a variety of positions, both elementary and middle, with the, which is not uncommon, honestly, for a Christian school teacher to have many different hats and many different roles: soccer coach, boys ensemble director, and I've enjoyed it immensely.
Praise God. And one note of interest to our audience is that Mike Endress happens to be the son-in-law of Charlie Liebert, the other guest of the three that I have mentioned. And we've already had Charlie give his personal testimony on the program before. So if you want to hear that, you could go back to some of the earlier interviews with Charlie Liebert. You can type in L-I-E, B as in boy, E-R-T, in the search engine where it says past shows podcast, and you'll find all of the interviews we've done with Charlie Liebert. But just to give you a summary, it starts off with his actually meeting the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus.
Anyway. Not quite.
He goes way back.
Not quite.
But Charlie, you have written a book with,
yes,
with a provocative title. Gotcha. And
the book?
Yeah, let me.
The book is My Christian Children's Education, What Should I Do? A Christian Educator's Analysis and Advice. What was the main catalyst toward you writing this book? Obviously, you believe there is something very seriously wrong with mainstream public education, or even some would call it government education.
Yes.
And there is not even universally good news in private Christian schools either.
No, not necessarily.
But if you could.
Let me go back and give you a little background. After I became a Christian at age 35, I wrestled with a lot of the questions about Christianity. It took me probably about 10 years to kind of get myself straight in terms of apologetics and understanding what the faith was about. After that time in Greensboro, North Carolina, where we were living, a local group decided to start a classical Christian school called Caldwell Academy. And I was put on the board in the early days of the school. Later on, I would teach both middle school and grammar school at that school. And that convinced me as I began to do research on that. At the same time in the 1980s, when Reagan was president, he had a study called Nation at Risk. And that particular study exposed some of the problems with Christian education. So I decided to put together a book that has basically three parts. The first one is Educational's Classing Foundations. The foundation of education in general in the U.S. public system is humanism. The Christian schools, of course, have the classical foundation of the Bible. How well that's used is another issue, but that's the foundation. And I talk the first part of the book about those foundations, what they are, how they explain it, how they influence education. Then the next is the challenges we face, things like textbooks, humanism, language, evolution, a little bit about evolution that's covered in some of my other books. And then the freedom of expression related to education, because there's a good deal of censorship going on in education. And the third part is the one that really is kind of my heart, and that is the parents' biblical responsibility, the biblical mandate, and then issues about how do parents implement that. Some parents will have to, they generally are bound to put their children in public schools. Well, if they're doing that as Christians, they're going to have to counter what's being poured into their children's heads. And that's going to be a big job. So I recommend Christian education, but there are some that will do that. So I basically put in that last session here, how do you do it? And I give the options: public school, private school, private Christian school, homeschool, all the different options, and explain which I think. And of course, my heart is in classical Christian education. So that would be the background. So that book has just been published recently. It does have on the front cover three pictures, one about 1950s when I went to school, called Education, Read and Write and Arithmetic. Okay, we were basically talking about the basics. By 1980s, we have A Nation at Risk, Reagan study, and then finally my last picture, which is the top one, which shows the school burned down. It says, Public Schools Humanist Foundation is Failure by Design.
Well, I'd like each of you, one by one, to tell me what your greatest concern is to start off with the public or government school system. And we'll start with you, Charlie, and then we'll move on to Gareth Shuth, and then we'll hear from your son-in-law, Mike Endres.
All subjects have a foundation from which they spring. And you teach history, you teach geography, you teach mathematics, you teach language. All of those have a foundation in which they spring. And the foundation, the basic difference between the foundations, and I'm getting very basic here, in humanism, the foundation is relativism. The foundation in Christianity is a biblical foundation that is a set of absolutes. And that's the difference. For example, when you teach education in a Christian school, you typically would teach it starting with phonics, the sounds of the letters, and then develop into a concept of what language is.
Yes, I definitely remember. I was educated in Catholic school, and I definitely remember the phonics.
The phonics. Part. Well, under the humanist system, that doesn't work that way. They use something called looksay, which is basically using the language starting with whole words. But what that's done is that's taken the absolute, which is the letters, out of the teaching and put in concepts. Well, that's backwards.
Why do you think that was done?
Because they can't countenance absolutes. They want to be able to teach in a way that the language is understood as being a relativist rather than absolute. I know it's a different approach, but that's pretty simple. The same thing is true in math. The new math, we don't teach numbers. We start with numerical concepts. That's backwards. And students don't get it.
To your knowledge, are there any government schools teaching phonics and traditional math?
There are some. They're typically schools that are called charter schools. And they're basically saying, we're chartered by the state, but we teach with the methods of the 50s rather than the methods of the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be the difference.
And Gareth Shuth, if you could tell us your greatest concerns about the public school system.
Yeah, I think the greatest concern would be that not that the public school doesn't have some things to offer and doesn't prepare kids for a future outside of the public school, but it inherently doesn't teach young Christians Christian thinking. I understand what Charlie's saying, and I agree with that. And just to add to that, you have the element of time. You have a child who is supposed to be educated under the tutelage ultimately of their parents. And I think even good parents who send their child to public school understand that responsibility. But when you are having your child under the influence of others during that time, which undoubtedly has to happen unless you're homeschooling your child, the element of time is a large one. It's a great multiplier when it comes to influence and education. And so when you are sending your children outside the home for that duration throughout the day, to not be imposing or influencing or injecting your child with Christian ways of thinking and Christian ways of behaving and studying the catechism and the Bible, you're going to have a problem. So it's not so much a problem I have with the public school per se as a public would use it, but as Christians, going to a public school, you're gonna have an issue at some point, whether it is clearly seen or not.
And Mike Endres.
Well, one key thing that I see is that God is truth, and we start with what is truth. The children in public schools are not told that there is truth, or that you can find your own truth, as if there are many different truths. You have your truth and I have my truth. They might be different, but both are truth. Well, that's nonsense. And it is very confusing. I think of the young children when I think about this question primarily. I mean, they are taught as if God does not exist. So your parents tell you that God exists, but we're going to spend an entire day as if he doesn't, in whatever we talk about, as if he's a fairy tale or something like that. And that is a huge concern of mine. And I one of the things I appreciate most about teaching in our Christian school from a biblical worldview is that we are showing the children that God is real and He is in everything. We start with God is real, that God is sovereign, that God is true, and you can trust in Him, and the scriptures are true. We start there, and the subjects that we teach flow from that understanding. And so my greatest concern is that these children growing up in the public school are being taught that there is no God.
Well, we have a private or an anonymous question, which we will go to after we return from our first station break. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Hi, Phil Johnson here. I'm executive director of John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You.
And I'm also an occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I'm delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen and I will be heading down to Atlanta for the G3 conference, where I'll be joining James White, Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, Todd Friel, Josh Bice, and a host of other speakers to address the topic of biblical understanding of missions. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you all at this very important conference. From January 17th through the 19th, make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth to say hi to Chris. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those 2 decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, 2 S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget to continue to pray for Mike Gadosh, the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, who not long ago had very serious and dangerous open heart surgery. As many of you know, he is recovering at home now after a successful surgery. But he's still not out of the woods. The recovery is still very difficult and exhausting. So please keep Mike Gadosh in your prayer that he is quickly restored to better vitality and strength and health than he has been experiencing in years. And also that he is even a better man spiritually as a result of this frightening trial that our loving, merciful, and gracious God has placed him in. That's Mike Gadosh of Solid Ground Christian Books. Keep him in your prayers. And also, while you're at it, why not order as many books as you can from solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, to help Mike overcome the dip in sales he experienced while laid up in the hospital. That would be a great benefit to him and his family if you would do that, and I would appreciate it as well, since he is a faithful supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But we are back now discussing Christian education with my guests, Gareth Schuth, headmaster of Grace Baptist Christian School in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, Mike Endress, third grade teacher and technology coordinator at Grace Baptist Christian School of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and Charlie Liebert, who is the founder of SixDayCreation.com. And that's spelled S-I-X, by the way, not with a number, SixDayCreation.com. And he is also the author of a number of books, including one we are addressing today, My Christian Children's Education, What Should I Do? A Christian Educator's Analysis and Advice. And I just wanted to let our listeners know, I misread an email from a listener. This was just meant to be a welcome home from overseas, from a listener to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Welcome home, Chris. It's wonderful to hear your voice again. I am so glad I tuned in to hear such a wonderful testimony as to God's great love and care and tenderness and support for you. What a mighty God we serve. He brought you through this, and he will continue. Welcome home again. Well, thank you very much, listener overseas, and we look forward to hearing from you with questions for our guests in the near future on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Well, before the break, during the break, you said that you wanted to respond to Gareth's last statement.
Yeah, I wanted to respond with a short story. Terry and I became Christians in almost less than 2 years after that. God moved us to Greenville, South Carolina from Greensboro. And we began attending a Reformed church called Mitchell Road Presbyterian. And while we were there, they have a Christian school. And Dr. Cross, who was the pastor at the time, came to see us about sending our children to Christian school. Terry had tried 3 times to register my son at the local public school and been unsuccessful. So, in a sense, God blocked her. But he came to, and he basically said this, and I'm going to try and paraphrase it as well as I can. He basically said, there are two views of humankind, the humanist view and the biblical view. He said, and the two are in contradiction. So, he wanted to encourage us to send my son Keith and Melanie to Christian school. So, he said this. He said, if you send them to public school, you're going to have to counter what they're being taught, number one. And number two, you're going to be putting them for 5 hours a day, and this is exactly how he said it, into the camp of the enemy. That is, you're putting them in a camp where they are going to be bombarded by the humanist viewpoint in every subject. And that convinced us. And from that time on, Melanie and Keith went to Christian school through their whole education. So that's part of the history of your wife, Mike.
Thanks. Sure.
We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who says, what about parents who just simply cannot afford Christian school. What is their alternative?
There are two options. Homeschool, which requires a commitment, a big commitment by the parents, or a commitment for them to basically take their children and daily, I would say daily, ask them what they were taught today and raise any issues related to the humanist impact that the subject they're teaching is hitting the children.
And Gareth, you have any comments on that?
I would say Charlie's right on there. It's a very difficult decision, and we understand that parents have mitigating circumstances. Parents desire to have their kids educated by Christians who love their child, mind, soul, and body, and wish to have them under that influence, but just cannot. And that is it's discouraging to know that in one aspect. You know, it's something too to consider. I know we don't always think of these routes, but you know, down the road, hopefully there may be some law changes that might benefit parents who might have greater school choice. And I would say, you know, to be maybe vigilant on that end as well, that you could, you know, connect with people, many good Christian representatives in our area who might say, hey, you know, that's something we should consider. You know, it's not a silver bullet, and it's not right down the road in our timeline, but you know, it would be great to see more kids being able to be put under the Christian worldview day in and day out.
If we really believe that every child is entitled to an education, then we should have a voucher system where the child can be educated under any context the parent wants. I would say to Christians, fight for the voucher system, because then children will get an education based upon the parents' beliefs, true for Christians or Islam or whatever. But I believe the parents have the right to determine what kind of education they should get. And as a result of that, they need to be able to empower them to do that for their children.
And Mike Endres?
I think with anything that's important, we should really make sure that door is shut. We may think, hey, I can't do this. I can't afford this. Are you sure? I think where you need to start is contacting your local Christian school and asking about financial aid and see what's available. On top of that, of course, and it depends on different families, but we live in a society today that wants to take their kids on a fancy vacation every year. My dad took us camping, and that was very inexpensive. And we were there are families that need to have two nice cars. In their mind, there are sacrifices that are worth it. And, I certainly sacrificing, certain things for your children's education, should be, something you're willing to do. Working more hours at a part-time job. I have been amazed at some of the families, who have come through Grace over the years who had, in the world's view, very low means, but, they were willing to make the sacrifices and work hard and work with the school so that their children could be there. And also when the school boards of these schools and the headmasters of these schools, boy, when they hear the desires of the heart for their, that the parents have that their children be educated in a Christian school, and that's really coming out, sometimes, major mountains will be moved, and along with prayer is where we need to start. Lord, open this door. And I think some are probably too quick to say it's just not possible, where there are more steps that they need to take, and especially looking to the Lord for this, and see that perhaps maybe it is possible.
Well put.
And there are different ideologies when it comes to even Christian schools, and even when it comes to classical Christian schools, and even when it comes to all kinds of conservative Bible-believing schools, even Reformed. I have to be careful when I say Reformed school. It's Reformed with an ED, not Reform school. I don't know if they still call juvenile delinquent school. Okay. But there are some schools who insist both parents be Christian. There are some schools that insist at least one be Christian, and there are some that don't require Christianity in the belief system of either parent. What is the ideology behind that question with the school where you guys serve? Gareth, you want to start?
Yeah, I would say that it is important that the parent is able to uphold the values that the school espouses. We do not have a requirement that both parents profess Christianity. We have a requirement that parents will allow us to teach the way we need to teach and to, in a sense, aid us in doing that, that they will not be a roadblock to those things. This allows the door for some parents who may not be coming for the reasons we may even have our doors open. They may come because they don't want to be in a public school. They may come because their child is having difficulty. And there is a place, I think, for schools to have that open to families who may not be entirely on board with what where the church or the Christian school is, but at least they will allow it and they will not fight it and they will support it in its basis. I think you need to be careful with that in a Christian school. If you are entirely a quote-unquote missional school, that would certainly flavor the classroom in ways that you may not want. You may be picking more battles than you wish, but certainly to be exclusionary in that way is not our goal. Again, we want to be able to have students come who may not be exactly like us and may have one parent who's a Christian and one that is not, or both that are not, but still support who we are in a sense and are allowing us to bring the gospel into the lives of these young people.
And Mike?
Well, I think it's very important that I do appreciate that our school is more open than some to schools that, like you said, will require both parents to be believers. And I do some understand some of the where they're coming from on that. It's very important though that parents read the mission statement of the school and ask lots of questions. And we have had families that we've said, you know, that we've talked to, you know, we're the Christian School of Grace Baptist, and they'll just say, well, I'm not Baptist. Had they read our children's catechism, I think many of these families that make that quick decision would be able to look through the catechism question by question and find that, yes, there may be some differences that they have, but see that this is a church that, or a Christian school that teaches biblical Christianity. And so it is, we have had families that have had really no idea what they're getting into. And we've been very surprised when they have asked, is this what this school teaches? And we've been very open about it. They just never bothered to really research. And some have had to, some have just turned away and have left. But we,
would that be more in regard to like the unique teachings of Calvinism, for instance, or
no, not at all. These are more, some just, basic things like Christ is the only way to heaven.
Really?
Yeah.
People wouldn't have known that before.
No. Some have had, like you had mentioned that you had gone to a Catholic school. Some have come from schools where it was religious in nature and they did teach some Bible, but it wasn't something that where a worldview of biblical thinking reigned in all subject areas. So they're background experience was, hey, well, I went to a Catholic school, but we had Jewish kids there and Muslim kids there, and we all just got along, and we, you know, they weren't taught this biblical worldview.
Right.
Christ is the only way. And so there have some have been shocked, and some have left because of that, not because we were hiding anything,
right.
Just because they really hadn't looked into it very well.
And I've said this on the show before, but for those of you who haven't heard it, I know evangelicals who have sent their children to Catholic parochial schools just because of the distance or because of the cost that might have been more compatible with their income or something, but they think very often that there will be little difference between a Catholic school and an evangelical school. All I can tell you is from my personal experience going all the way back to the late 1960s and the 1970s, I was taught in my science class that by secular teachers, they called them lay teachers because they are part of the laity, but they taught that all of the more well-known stories in the Old Testament that are favorites among children, like Adam and Eve, Noah's Ark, and all these stories, they're all myths that we evolved from apes and so on. I was taught this in Catholic school as a child that long ago. So I'm assuming that there may be differences from school to school, from diocese, in different locations, diocesan differences. But perhaps you may have some very rare ultra-right traditionalist Catholic school that might actually teach a literal six-day creation or in a creation at all. But I wouldn't want people listening to think that there wouldn't be many major differences between a Catholic school and an evangelical school, and let alone the gospel itself. I mean, the gospel, if they are being faithful to the Council of Trent, is going to be an entirely different gospel than those of us in this room believe.
But if you reach out to the different kinds of Christian schools, one of the most common things you're going to see is that they have a statement of purpose. That's the most important thing for the parent to read. What's the purpose? Is it Christian worldview, biblical worldview? Or is it a combination of the world and secular and all blended together? The Catholics tend to blend the two, and that's what the issue becomes, because the gospel's kind of hidden. If you've got a true biblical worldview, the gospel's right out there in front. You can't miss it.
Well, we're going to our midway break right now. This is the longer than normal break that we have. It's because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break because they air their own commercials and public service announcements during this break to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida. So please be patient with us as we take this elongated break. Also, use this time wisely to write down information provided by our advertisers, because the more you know about our advertisers and how to contact them, the more likely you will be able to successfully and more frequently patronize them. And the more you do that, the more likely they are going to remain our advertisers, and we rely upon their advertising dollars, so therefore it will be more likely that we will remain on the air for a longer period of time. So, and besides that, please send in your questions to our guests today, Gareth Schuth and Mike Endress of Grace Baptist Christian School in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and also Charlie Liebert of SixDayCreation.com. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions, like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
Faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
James White here, co-founder of Alpha and Omega Ministries and occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm so delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen will be heading down to Atlanta for the next G3 conference from January 17th to the 19th, 2019, where I'll be joining a very impressive lineup of speakers on the theme, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. Speakers include John Piper, Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mabewe, Phil Johnson, Josh Bice, yours truly, and many more. I hope you all join Chris and me for this phenomenal event. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie.com. 540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those 2 decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, 2 S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959.
We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at their toll-free number. And that toll-free number is, and it's, I usually have this right at my fingertips. It's 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. And if you mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and purchase a minimum of $50 or more worth of merchandise, you will not only receive the journalable, that's not an easy word to say, journalable Psalm 119, published by Reformation Heritage Books, but you also get you'll get free shipping on your entire order of $50 or more. And we have just a few important announcements to make before we return to our discussion. First of all, our newest sponsor, Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, is having a conference that I intend to attend Saturday, October 6th, and Sunday, October 7th, featuring guest speaker Mike Abendroth, who's been a guest on this program many times. He is the senior pastor at Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, the author of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Preachers, The Sovereignty and Supremacy of King Jesus, Sexual Fidelity, and Evangelical White Lies. And he will be speaking on the theme, Why the Reformation Still Matters. As I said, that's from Saturday, October 6th through Sunday, October 7th at Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. For more details, go to gracebfc.com/conference. That's gracebfc, which stands for Bible Fellowship Church, .com/conference. You could also call them at 717-652-5229. 717-652-5229. Then coming up, there is another conference where I will be manning an Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitor's booth, God willing. That's November 9th and the 10th at another Grace Bible Fellowship Church congregation. This one is in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. And this is the annual Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology, which is sponsored by the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. The speakers this year are David Garner, Ray Ortland, Richard Phillips, Timothy Gibson, and Carlton Wynn. And the theme is the glory of the cross. For more details, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org. Click on events, then scroll down to the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. I hope to see you there. Then, coming up in January, from Thursday, January 17th to Saturday, January 19th, The G3 conference is returning to the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia. I intend to be there also with an Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth. This will be my third time there. I love this conference. It is absolutely mind-blowing. It is a very wonderful conference. This January's theme is The Mission of God, a Biblical Understanding of Missions. And they are once again featuring a very long and impressive list of speakers, including Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, John Piper, Stephen J. Lawson, Vodi Baucom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, who is my favorite preacher on the planet Earth, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and chancellor of the African Christian University. Tim Challies, my friend Phil Johnson, the executive director of John MacArthur's ministry, Grace to You. Josh Bice, the founder of the G3 conference, and by the way, that stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory, in case you're wondering. We have Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio on the roster. We have Stephen J. Nichols, the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late Dr. R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, and many more are on that roster. For more details, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. If you have a church, parachurch, ministry, or business that you want to promote there, I would strongly urge you to sponsor an exhibitor's booth, just as I will be manning there, because they are expecting between 4,000 and 5,000 people at this year's, or should I say, at this January's G3 conference. So I hope to see you there. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Last but not least, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you don't want us to disappear from the airwaves, you love sharing the free MP3s with family, friends, and loved ones, well, please consider prayerfully donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as much as you can and as frequently as you can. Now, I have these caveats that I mention to you every day. Please never siphon money out of the regular giving that you're accustomed to the local church where you are a member. Never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your church and home. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command of God, obviously. But if you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, then please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. And if you prefer snail mail, you can mail a check to the address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. And just make the checkout to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, we would love to launch an ad campaign with you if whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe on the show. It doesn't have to be identical with what I believe, but it needs to be compatible. Just send your email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. That is also the email address, or you could send in a question for our guests today on Christian education. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And please, again, give us your first name, city and state and country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And Charlie Liebert, you wanted to address something that involves a chart in your book?
Actually, I'm going to let Gareth start first.
All right, Gareth, go ahead. Gareth Shuth.
Thank you, Charlie. I will come back to you here. Our pastor, John Miller, was bringing a passage to us as a faculty and board this summer before we started the school year. And he took us to Colossians 1. And I think it's a very helpful place to start when we're thinking about Christian education, especially in the idea that Christian education is often mischaracterized. And I'll get there in a second. But here, from the scriptures, Colossians 1, starting in verse 15, and here we're starting with the word he, that is Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That is just the centrality of what the Christian school is or should be about. This is not a Christian school idea wherein we take a public school worldview and we add chapel and we add prayer and we throw in some Bible verses. When we're speaking of Christian schools that are effective, we're talking about Christian schools wherein this centrality of Christ is present, whether we're in grammar, we're in math, science, social studies. It doesn't matter where we are. Christ is preeminent. And that just needs to be the central point of our Christian education. Charlie has a great grid, a great chart in his book. If you have it with you, it's on page 11. And Charlie, if you just kind of go over that briefly here, distinguishing between the difference of a humanistic worldview and a Christian worldview, I mean, it's really the crux of why we believe in Christian education.
Thanks, Gareth. Yeah, the answer is yes in terms of the chart. We'll start with the origin of the universe. It's order from nothing, or chaos, or evolution, atheistic evolution, or God created it in 6 days. It's two very different views, and two very different views. And I would say, from my book, which is about Darwinism, called "Without Three Miracles, Darwin's Dead," the creation by 6 days is obviously the better scientific explanation for what we see on the world. Mankind's origin. We're a chemical biological accident, says humanism. The Bible says no, we're made in God's image, for intent, for purpose. The origin of life, dead chemicals, or something called abiogenesis, which means dead chemicals become alive, or created kinds made by God. Life's meaning, human experience, or residing in God, living in Christ. Historical flow, that's really a good discussion in the subject of history. Unpredictable random events would be the humanist view. The biblical view would be pretty simple. God's purpose is working, being worked out in history. How to improve the world? By reason and intelligence, humanism would say. Christianity says by conversion and a life in Christ. Happiness is Maslow's hierarchy of needs, or Christ as a new creation. We are a new creation in Christ. Fulfillment is by the earth only and death ends all, versus eternal life in Christ and the aspect of heaven. Moral basis, relativism, do what you want, pick and choose what you'd like to believe, what you'd like to do, or God's word as a guide for life. Salvation comes either by none or human effort in all the world religions except biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity says God's grace alone, by faith we are saved. And then finally, lifestyle. If you're living as a humanist, you're going to love hedonism, pleasure, intelligence, living for today. The lifestyle of a Christian would be in Christ as a living sacrifice. There's another table on page 62, which I just want to hit for a couple seconds, and that is the contrast in textbooks' foundations. In history, the biblical view would be national pride in the nation that we have, based on foundational principles that were there in the Constitution and in the Declaration of Independence, or politically correct liberalism. In social studies, it's heritage and human values, or it's basically relativism and hatred of the USA. In math, it's read and write, it's arithmetic, algebra, and trig, or common core math, which is nonsense. One of the big ones here, because I teach business subjects, is this one. In economics, it's either free market enterprise, which would be the functioning system of the biblical understanding, or socialism or communism, which is a system that always fails. So that's an overview of the differences between the two worldviews. And it's important we understand that out of that springs everything the children are taught.
Yeah, and I think it's important too, Charlie, that as you read those humanist views, you're not setting up a straw man who's not sitting here next to us.
No, not at all.
These are things that we could go down the list and ask someone who believes in things, do you believe in this? And they would say, certainly I do. So, you know, we're not setting up a straw man to pick apart who's not sitting there. I think that's very important to point out.
Yes, that's a critical issue that, in fact, the humanist, well, is expressed best by the latest Humanist Manifesto, which is Manifesto 3. And Humanist Manifesto 3 is relatively short. I'd suggest most Christians read it, because you'll understand what the other side believes, and you'll see all the counter to what you believe.
Now, just out of curiosity, I don't know how widespread your knowledge is in regard to what government schools are doing all over the United States, but how prevalent is it in the grammar and high school grades for instance, authoritative declarations as to the celebratory nature of homosexual activity. In other words, we should not only, as citizens of any given nation, tolerate this, but we should applaud it and celebrate it. We should view it as wonderful. You see this routinely in the secular media, even on regular secular news programs, where you will have, I mean, long ago is the days of Walter Cronkite, when he might have just with a neutral facial expression report on some kind of homosexual activity that's going on without smiling with a big toothy grin and applauding what is going on. But what do you know, and we'll start with you, Gareth, what do you know about this, how widespread that kind of a thing is?
Chris, I can't speak to that necessarily. I do know that we have some wonderful Christian families that attend public school, and I just want to, again, reiterate, if we haven't already, we are not in any way demeaning their choice. So let me just put that out there. But even from them, they would tell you that that kind of thing is present, is prevalent, and even going along with what Charlie was saying about the humanist worldview, that's completely in line with the worldview to celebrate these things. So it's not uncommon, and I think it's purposeful. It's within line of the viewpoint that you will be imbibing in that setting.
Sound kind of strange, but it's a geographical issue, geography. If you went to Texas, you won't find much of that in the schools. If you went to New York or Los Angeles, you're going to find a lot of that in the schools. So local schools determine to some extent where they are. But one of the most common problems I see in talking with Christian parents is that, you know, we understand the Humanist Foundation in public education, but our school is different because they think their school doesn't teach that because they don't see the textbooks and they don't go through the stuff their children are hearing every day. So you'll hear that a lot from Christian parents. Well, our school is different. We're not really founded on humanist principles. And that's a fallacy. The foundation is there regardless. So I would encourage Christian parents, probe a little bit about what your children are being taught if you've got them in public school.
Yeah, well, let's not just beat up on the public school system, because mm-hmm. I've heard some alarming things about private evangelical Christian schools. Mm-hmm. I know of a teacher who has been on the faculty of a conservative private Christian school. It had even reformed roots to it. I don't know how reformed theologically it is today, but this woman is still on the faculty there. She's been there for decades, and she told me that they're using the history books from secular school publishers, which was alarming to me because, she was alarmed herself because of the revisionist nature of these books, that kind of a thing. What else do you know that is of great concern to you about other Christian schools that might be just as counterproductive or on the border of being just as counterproductive as the government schools?
As a Christian parent, one of the first things I'd ask is, let me see the origin of the textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
What textbooks are you using? Using Bob Jones or A. Becker, or using one of the secular publishers? Because the foundations are going to be different in those books. And that's the first thing your parents probably want to research is, what are the textbooks like that you're using in your courses? What's their origin? Who's the publisher? That's a critical issue.
Now, in your opinion, what are the best publishers to look for?
Well, I'd look for A. Becker. I'd look for Bob Jones, even though I don't agree with all the theology of Bob Jones. I'd look for that because they're a good publisher.
There isn't anything inherently anti-Calvinist in those?
No. Well, the answer is maybe. I don't want to be committing. Alpha and Omega is another one. Okay, there's another publisher there. There are a whole list of Christian publishers, and I believe I have it in my book. I'm not sure I can find it that quickly, but there's a list of Christian publishers in here that indicates what they are. And I would say, look at the list. If you're getting something out of a secular publisher, it's going to be Humanist and Foundation. That's just the nature of the books themselves.
Yes, well, I need to follow up real quick by giving my hats off, if you will, to Steve Pettit, who is the current president of Bob Jones University. I saw him and heard him preach at the Foundations Conference in New York City about 2 years ago, I think it was. This is a conference founded by Sermon Audio. Everyone in that panel was openly theologically reformed, and Steve Pettit, although he didn't identify himself with that label, was clearly teaching God's word through the lenses, either consciously or unconsciously, through the lenses of a reformed Christian. He was clearly teaching the reformed Ordo Salutis, order of salvation. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to throw that in there. I didn't want to insinuate that I was bashing Bob Jones University in this stage of the game in the 21st century. But anything you would like to say, Gareth?
Yeah, Chris, I think the other important element to this is that textbooks are a tool that are used by I don't want to call them technicians. Teachers are much more than technicians. But textbooks are a tool in the hands of a professional. And that we went through the process of interviewing and hiring three new teachers this year at Grace. And, you know, my concern, yes, there's a concern about what kind of textbook they would be using. But at the same time, you could have a great textbook put in front of children with a teacher who is not themselves sold on the Christian worldview, even reformed thinking in our Christian school. And that, to me, is a greater concern. You know, you have an interview, you have multiple interviews, and you still hope and pray that the life of this Christian, the life of this teacher, is exuding the gospel truths that we want to bring them day in and day out. So, you know, I agree with Charlie. It's important to have good textbooks that aren't counterproductive. But at the end of the day, we need to remember that we have teachers who are wielding them appropriately. And a lot of times, and I have to be honest, I've been looking at some Bible curriculum, and so many places are developing their own, not because there is major flaws in some of the publishers, but because they know that their teachers will wield the Word of God effectively. Mm-hmm. So they choose to do it themselves, entrusting the teachers with that task.
By the way, I was just curious, did the Christian school at Grace Baptist Church lose my application? I never heard anything. Just kidding.
Never got that one, Chris. I'm sorry.
Before we move on, we do have a listener question, but before we move on, do you have anything to say, brother? Mike Endres?
Yeah, well, I just think it's so important that the Christian schools, you know, our church is, this is our church's Christian school. And so, Christian schools that are under a church, I think it's very important that the elders, are involved and that they know where their teachers are coming from. That they know their teachers have credible Christian testimonies. That they know where their teachers views are on creation and on biblical Christian discipline. That takes time. This is the only school I've ever worked for. So this is what I know, my school. But if you were at a school that was a parent run school, I would encourage those schools to be very, very, have a very solid statement of faith and a clear understanding of where their teachers come from. Certainly, we can have teachers who are Presbyterians and Baptists and like-minded with differences, teachers to be teachers in the same school. But there are core foundations that must be very solid. And I'm sure that there are schools that have not been as careful in these areas and have regretted it, and it has been a detriment. I'm very thankful for the thorough process our school has and for even the requirement that we hold to our confession, and we support it, and to our catechism that really drives us as a whole group. And unifies us as a group, and it makes, as you go from one teacher to another teacher, yeah, differences in personality, but the mission and the understanding is the same of our biblical Christian education.
We have CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who wants to know, Is it a negative against a Christian teacher if she's accredited in the government school system?
Let's be clear. There are some great things that we get from the secular world, Chris. I mean, I don't know if you ever have to take any medication. I do at times. And a lot of that was developed by secular people with secular mindsets. You have to be discerning. I think it would be unwise to throw someone's credentials out because they have a set of credentials that may indeed give them some tools, but with a biblical perspective. I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. Again, much like the textbook is used in the hands of the teacher, so their tools, whether they learned them at a public or private Christian institution, are going to be wielded by that, hopefully, Christian believer. I don't think that's necessarily a detriment. Although, you know, if they were indoctrinated in a sense with certain philosophies, you definitely want to flesh that out as you're interviewing that individual, certainly.
And for full disclosure, both Gareth and I have our certificates are from the Department of Pennsylvania Department of Education.
I'm sorry, we've run out of time. Just kidding. we are going to our final break right now. It's a much briefer break than the last one, and this will be your time if you have questions to send them in before we run out of time. Please send them to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We will be right back after these sponsors. So please do not go away.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight
for
me.
Tons of stuff going on, yeah. Tons of great speakers, and no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is
done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy, used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Welcome back, and this is the last segment of today's interview on Christian education with Gareth Shuth, headmaster of Grace Baptist Christian School in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, Mike Endres, third grade teacher and coordinator of technology at Grace Baptist Christian School as well, and also Charlie Liebert, the founder of SixDayCreation.com and the author of the book, My Christian Children's Education, What Should I Do? A Christian Educator's Analysis and Advice. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and please do so quickly if you intend to write in, because we are rapidly running out of time. Just one more plug for our new sponsor before we return with the interview. Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, is having their Reformation Conference on Saturday, October 6th, and Sunday, October 7th, at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church on 1250 Colonial Road in Harrisburg. The theme is Why the Reformation Still Matters, and the speaker is Mike Abendroth, who has been a guest here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a number of times. He's also the senior pastor at Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, and the author of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Preachers, The Sovereignty and Supremacy of King Jesus, Sexual Fidelity, and Evangelical White Lies. If you want more information about this conference, you could go to gracebfc.com. That's GraceBFC, standing for Bible Fellowship Church, .com/conference. That's GraceBFC.com/conference. Or call 717-652-5229, 717-652-5229. Please tell the folks at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, that you heard about this conference from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before the break, or actually during the break, the last break, Mike Endres, you said that you wanted to speak about discipline, how it is conducted in a Christian school, or actually how it's conducted in the Christian school at Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, as opposed to what is perhaps going on widespread in the government schools.
All right, Chris. I think when we're talking about Christian education, one of the things that should come to the forefront of parents who are looking into it is developing godly Christian character in their children. And this is what we have the honor and great privilege. It's intimidating sometimes because it's not easy to do. But to develop Christian character, and we are teaching boys how young men should behave and how they should treat young women. We are teaching students to be honest, to be kind, and reasons that you will get in the public school are things like, well, or you're going to get in trouble, or because it's the right thing to do. We point the students to why it's the right thing to do and who says so. This is not us wielding our own authority. This is authority given to us by God. We're teaching them to honor their parents, as the fifth commandment teaches us to do. And what it means to honor your mother and father, even when it's difficult. Perhaps not everything they do is honorable, and yet we are to teach them to honor mother and father. And so these are obviously the area that we've talked about with Christian worldview and academics. That is a huge part of what Christian educators do. But this Christian worldview goes to these areas of character and also student discipline. And when we have opportunities to discipline the children, we're pointing them to their reason why. Here's another reason, whatever it would be. Maybe the student is constantly not doing their homework. Something simple like that, which is a very common thing. Obviously, the kinds of sins that are happen in the public school happen in the Christian school as well. And the kids have the same temptations. But we get to point them to the Lord. These are opportunities when they sin and fall into these things. We have opportunity to talk to them. And these, another, we get to point them. Here's another reason why you need a Savior. Mm-hmm. And by that, we get to point them to Christ. The answer. We could do what other schools do, is to just move on, because these are small things. You know, I think that's the temptation in the public school, and maybe it just ends up having to be that way because of some of the much greater difficulties that they have with behavior in the school, in the public schools. But go ahead, Gareth.
I was just going to say that as far as preparing kids, for time and eternity, which is kind of our tagline at Grace, you know, Mike is right that this area of discipline is a place where worldview takes hold. It is born out of a worldview, and I don't mean to put it in such stark terms, but you know, when you have a child at home and you can address their heart and you send them away and in a sense abdicate to a system that doesn't espouse those deeply held views, that you're going to have to do some detox at the end of the day. All our new hires, all of our teachers, we don't talk to the kids about worldview, but they know that they are pressing home the gospel at every turn. They are taking in a chance to say, here is Christ, and here he is not some figure in a literary work. He is not some abstraction. Here is Christ here and now. You know, Ken Sandy, I believe, said in his book about in Peacemakers that every area of conflict is an area to honor the Lord. And we see that with our kids. We don't have perfect kids that come to Grace. We know that. And we start there and say, Lord, show us where we can apply the balm of the gospel or sometimes the law of God and show these children who Christ truly is. Discipline is an area that any parent would tell you is a struggle. And in our goal to partner with parents, we also have to address discipline from this godly perspective, from this Christ-centered, God-honoring perspective. And it is our great joy to do that, knowing that they may not get it in a public school and maybe even at home at times. So it is a great privilege, although it is a great challenge.
Right. Now, I think you should be clear with examples of what you mean by discipline. I, as I said, went to Catholic school. Mm. And although, since I was a gifted artist as a kid, my creating artwork for the nuns was kind of equivalent to a prison inmate who had cases of cigarettes, buying his safety. You know, the nuns basically left me alone because of my artistic creativity, and they would frequently call upon me to decorate the school and the church during holy days and so on with banners and all kinds of things, even just letters, stencils. And but anyway, I was witness, though. I mean, I did have my hair pulled very hard at many occasions with certain nuns that didn't like me. Most of the nuns loved me, but I had my head cracked against another kid's head. But I witnessed nuns actually having kids held up against the wall, kicking them in the shins. This is in the early 70s, by the way, folks. And I've witnessed serious discipline problems. They would actually be sent to the principal's office where they had their head shaved. But this was
in the 70s. So you know what the long hairstyles back there. Yeah, that must have been the worst.
Yes, and yes, it was. And but this, I am fairly certain, was done with the hearty approval of parents, because I think typically when parents sent their kids to Catholic school back then, they wanted that kind of thing because their kids, they knew their kids were problems, very perhaps even violent. I mean, I don't want to exaggerate the violence, but you know, they were mischievous kids. But so what do you mean by discipline?
Well, Chris, I would think a lot of our parents would take some of the views of you know, shepherding a child's heart. You know, discipline has different methods and means, but in the end, if it's a view that is strictly punishment without any kind of restoration, or if it's punishment without bringing forth the law and the gospel, it's not really discipline. We're very clear about that. The discipline may look different for different students and what they need, and it is, again, up to the teacher to know these students and to apply that. We certainly have rules. We certainly have consequences, that's for sure, but they never come apart from the pressing of the heart. They don't. Our teachers are instructed. They know it. Many of them are parents themselves, but they know that it never comes without the pressing of the heart, without a hug, without restoration, forgiveness being clearly seen and presented. It must come in that form.
And we see the fruit of this when we are pressing the heart, when we are challenging them to look to the Lord. We see the fruit in a change of behavior most of the time. Not always, but and some kids' hearts are hard throughout. But and that can be difficult. But we see many great discipline opportunities, tough times at times, over difficult situations. Something the kid did that was very mean to another one, or lying, things like that. Some of these most difficult situations, as we are talking to these kids, withholding privileges, you know, there are those, both of those things may go along together. We don't have the nuns old school style. That is not us. That is not, we have nothing to do with that.
But don't the tears come, Mike? Not when there's a severe discipline, but when a teacher looks them in the eye and says, young person, this is what the Lord thinks of this. And yet, this is what the Lord has provided for your forgiveness. Mm-hmm. That's where those conversations are had. And that's where the greatest, you know, effect is. That's where the tears come.
Right.
Not from the harsh punishment, but from the realization of the gospel pressed to their hearts.
And when we're talking to Christian parents who understand this biblical discipline, some of the partnership, the growth between teacher and parent, as far as this idea of in loco parentis, as the position that we are put in as teachers in their stead, boy, that really strengthens. And they, I think many of them understand and are reaffirmed. Yes, this is why my child is here. This is why I wouldn't even consider another option if as long as I have the means to continue doing this. This is what we will do.
And Charlie, you have about 30 seconds.
Yeah. Now. Okay. Well, the one thing I want to say is one of my mentors said this one time, which I thought was very powerful. When you discipline a child, you start with the law, but you better end with grace.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, I know that the Grace Christian School at Grace Baptist Church or the Christian School of Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, can be found at their website, gracebaptistchristianschool.org, gracebaptistchristianschool.org. And I know that you could find the book that we have been talking
Amazon
today, My Christian Children's Education, What Should I Do? A Christian Educator's Analysis and Advice, sixdaycreation.com
or Amazon. It's on both. I'm 99 cents cheaper.
Okay, that's sixdaycreation.com, and that's spelt S-I-X, daycreation.com. I want to thank all of you for being my guest today. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially...
Listeners getting a book today.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. The two listeners, I believe it was two.
Two or three, yeah.
That sent in questions. You're getting a free copy of Charlie's book. But I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.